I want you to be finding your place with me this morning in Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter. As we continue to magnify this thought of the bread is ready. The true bread has been sent. That is on purpose, directed, ordered, sent from heaven. And Christ alone is that true bread. Nothing else will satisfy it. You can try it. It will leave you high and dry. And a lot of times it'll leave you with an aftertaste. Oh my. Then there's the wonder bread of God. He can take and supply and meet every need that we have this day. We've meditated upon the principle of gathered bread. Bread's available. Bread is ready. But it must be gathered. And last Sunday morning, we spent moments looking at the thought of shared bread. Oh, that boy remembered that his father had servants and they had bread enough to spare. Well, they had bread to spare, but the Father had bread to share without limit. And oh my, this day, our Father, our Heavenly Father, doesn't just spare bread. He's got bread to share without limit. All you can eat this morning, you can partake of from Him. Well, this morning from Matthew chapter 15, I want to look at a rich passage. Charles Haddon Spurgeon had about 10 or so sermons on this encounter with this Syrophoenician woman. It reads here in Matthew 15, that is, verse 21, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very, very hour. And the Lord will add his blessings to the reading of his word. There are a host of truths in this passage. As I mentioned, Spurgeon had about 10 or so sermons on this text. There's even more applications that we can make this morning, but I want to focus on and stay focused again this morning on this thought of bread. And in the text that we've read together this morning, we find crumbs of bread. Not a whole loaf, not even a slice, but crumbs of bread. But when they are from this master's table, crumbs of bread are enough. Just a crumb from his table this morning will suffice this morning. So I want to work around in this thought of crumbs of bread this morning. Christ is that bread. The bread is ready this morning. And if you will but come unto him this morning, you can eat and you can partake. But you must come. You must come unto him this morning. Now, the Lord wants us to focus on this woman. That's why he uses that word in verse 22. Behold. He says, look at her. Behold. Pay attention to this, is what our Lord was saying then, and it's what he's saying to our hearts together this morning. I want you to notice several things from the text this morning. There's hunger here. This is a mother that is overwhelmed with hunger. And the hunger is to see her daughter delivered. The hunger is to see her daughter get help. In fact, in the text you notice, she says, "Have mercy on me." You say, "Well, I thought it was her daughter that had the need." Oh, yes, it was. But she's so tied to her daughter. And the burden has become her burden. Oh, my. She knows that her daughter needs help. So she needs help this morning. And she's driven by this overwhelming desire to get to the Lord Jesus Christ. She hears he's nearby. Mark 7. Mark 7 is the chapter in Mark's gospel that records this same encounter. Mark 7 tells us that Jesus was in a house, hidden. He's weary. He's tired. He's seeking rest. But you can't hide Christ. He cannot be hidden in all my, even though he was longing for rest, he gives up rest to help this woman in all my, even though at times he was hungry, he was willing to become bread for you and for me, that you and I might eat all my. But it's this driving hunger that's driving this woman to search him out, to find him out, to locate our Lord. In fact, it says in verse 22, it says in verse 23, it speaks there that she cried. She's crying unto the Lord. And when the Lord seemingly ignores her, she goes to crying unto the disciples. And the word speaks of a loud wail, a loud cry. This lady is literally shouting at the top of her lungs, "Oh my, help me, help me, help me." And she's gotten on the disciples' nerves. They say, "Would you send her away? Will you command her to go away?" Mark's gospel again says that she besought them. She's begging them. She's begging the Lord. She's begging the disciples. She's overwhelmed with hunger. She's desperate to get help for her child. She's desperate, oh my, for someone, and she's doing it nonstop. It's in the imperfect tense. She continually is crying, "Help me, have mercy, have mercy, have mercy." She is overwhelmed with hunger. Here is a desperate mother. I'll tell you our problem this morning. We're not desperate. Our problem this morning, we lack a hunger for God. We lack a hunger for the mercy of God. God, help us to be just like this woman, oh man, to have a hunger and a thirst for God, his righteousness and his mercy. Oh man, she declares here, it is in verse 22. She says, "My daughter's grievously vexed." The word has the idea she's tormented. She's tormented by this devil of hell. She's harmed. The word has evil behind it. Of course, the devil is a destroyer. The devil is a murderer. He seeks to destroy. That's what sin will do. Sin will kill you. Sin will murder you. The devil will destroy you this morning. You ought to run to Christ this morning. You ought to run to him this morning. She says, "My daughter, she's tormented. She's miserable. She's grievously vexed." That's rather with this devil. She's gripped by the power of hell. And we don't really see it. We don't really see it in our English. But the thought behind this cry is, "I need help and I need help now. My daughter needs help and she needs it now. I need mercy and I need mercy now." I want to tell you, if you and I had enough sense, we'd know that's our cry this morning. Even we that are saved, we got to have help now. We've got to have mercy now. There is a hunger. There's a hunger here. But now to prove her and to test
her, if you please, to reveal how hungry for bread, for help, for mercy she is. Our Lord, I think you picked up on it. Our Lord responds to her in a most unusual way. So I want you to notice not just the hunger here, but there's some hurdles here. There's some obstacles. There's some hurdles that she's going to have to get over there. I watched one night those hurdle races there at the Olympics. There's some hurdles that she's got to overcome. There's her race. The text notes for us, this is a woman of Canaan. She's a descendant of the enemies of God. She's a descendant of that crowd. In Deuteronomy 7, God says, you're to wipe them out. You're to destroy them. You're not to make a covenant with them. God says in Deuteronomy 7, 2, you're to have no mercy towards them. But you notice, she comes and she casts herself down at the feet of mercy. And I'm here to tell you this morning, never will you find in the Word of God anyone that comes to Him out of an honest heart crying for mercy that the Lord denies. Doesn't matter who you are this morning, doesn't matter what you've done, if you run to Christ, the bread is ready, mercy is available. But she's a Canaanite woman. John MacArthur says she's got two strikes against her. She's a woman. She's a Canaanite. She's from Tyre and Sidon. Those cities that were under judgment. She's of a cursed race. Oh my. So there's this hurdle of a race that she's got to overcome. But then there's his response. It seems as if though his ears are closed. And at first, his mouth is closed. Oh my. But we're going to see his heart was open the entire time. But she doesn't see that yet. She's not aware of that yet. So there's this hurdle. His response, it's silence. Augustine said, the word wasn't saying a word. Have you ever prayed and it seemed like you're not hearing a word? Oh my, oh my. You better keep praying. You better keep asking. You better keep knocking. In fact, that's sometimes why he is silent. So you and I will keep praying. So you and I will keep asking. And that's what's going on right here. But he is silent. He answers her not a word. And then when he does speak, it is almost unbelievable what he says. He did not have a course in school in evangelism. He did not have a course in school how to win and influence people. Because when he does speak, he doesn't even speak directly to her. He speaks about her. And he scorns her in essence. He scorns her in essence. For he's about to call her even a dog. Most people would give up. Most people would turn away. Most people would walk away. But no, no, no. She's hungry. She's desperate. She knows nobody can help. Oh, man. So she's got the hurdle of his silence. She's got the hurdle of his scorn. He first speaks and he says to the disciples, It's not these dogs. He doesn't say that yet, I know. But here's what he says. He says, I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She knows what he means by that. She knows he means by that, I'm one of those Gentile dogs. He's not said it yet, but he's about to say it. But she knows her place ready. She knows all the Jews view her and all the Gentiles, male and female, if you please, as dogs or my. And then finally, here it is in verse 26. It is not meet. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And I cannot prove it, but I believe in all my heart. When he said that, he did turn to her. I believe he's looking her right square in the face when he says, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. He seemingly is scorning her. He seemingly is saying, there's no way you're going to get any bread. There's no way you're going to get any help from me. But notice something. In the midst of this response, in the midst of the silence, in the midst of the seeming scorn, notice this woman's response. It's one of humility and it's one of honor. What does she do here in verse 25? She came and she worshiped him saying, Lord, help me or mine. Even though he's not saying a word, and even though when he does go to talking, it's not the most complimentary thing that he's saying or mine. In spite of all that, she knows she needs him. She knows she needs the bread of life and what he has. So she comes and she falls on her face and she worshiped him in humility. She's taking her rightful place. There's more than respect here. There's reverence here. There's honor here. Don't miss this. Verse 25, before he calls her a dog, she takes the place of a dog. That's why she doesn't get offended when he does call her a dog. Oh my. You know, a lot of people claim to be servants until they're treated like a servant. A lot of people at church, oh yeah, I'm a servant. But then when they're treated like a servant, they reveal their anything but. But before he even alludes to her being a dog, she's taken this lowly position. She's on her face on the ground and she's worshiping the Lord. And don't tell me some man penned this book down, for none are that smart. The root word for the word worship is the exact same root word for dog. You think that's by accident? The word speaks of a dog that comes to the feet of the master and licks the feet, licks the hand of the master. That's what worship is. When you and I bow before him, when we kiss on him, when we love on him, oh my, that's what worship is. That's what worship is. I mean, you can praise and you can shout and it not be worship. Oh, my, worship is when you and I are humbling ourselves on our face and we're giving him allegiance and we're giving him love. We're licking his hand, if you please, oh, my. But now, the word that the Lord uses, don't miss all this. When the Lord does say, it's not meet that we should take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. He's not referring to a scavenger. He's not referring to some wild scavenger. He's not referring to some mangy mutt that has no owner, that's running wild. There's a different word for that. That's the word, by the way, that's used in Matthew 7 of those that refuse to believe the gospel. That's the word used in Philippians 3 of those that are evil doers. That's the word used in Revelation of those that run with sorcerers and murderers. Now, the word that Jesus uses here for dog, it's not that scavenger that has no owner, but it literally refers to a little dog. We might even could say puppy. But here's the thing. It's one that has an owner. It's one that is cared for. It's one that has an owner. And this thought of worship, as I said, literally, it is to kiss the hand. I sometimes, in the mornings, go out and sit on the front porch and read a while. And Bo, our dog will come up. And I got to keep my hands in my lap. Because if I don't have my hands in my lap, he wants to lick on my hands, and he wants my attention, and he wants to give me his attention. And then he'll just lay right down until I get done reading so I can give him some attention and he can give me attention. That's the thought here of worship. This woman comes. She knows she's an outcast. She knows she's a Canaanite woman. She knows she doesn't have any right. She knows she doesn't deserve. She knows she is but an outcast. But oh my, she comes and she says, Lord, she said, I'll be your dog. I'll be your servant. I want you. I want you. Lord, Lord, would you help me? Lord, Lord, would you help me? Oh my, oh my. See, she knows it's better to be his dog. It's better to be but a dog of his than to fend for yourself and all the world. Because she knows those that are owned get fed. She knows those that are owned get petted. She knows those that are owned get tended. Get tended to. She believes she'll get help. She believes she'll get some crumbs from his table. And she's already ate enough of the world. She's already tried enough of the bread of the world to know it will not last. And some of you sitting right here this morning, you've tried the world. You've tried sex. You've tried drugs. You've tried it all. Oh my. And you're high and dry. Run to Christ. The bread is ready this morning. If you will but humble yourself before him. But not only in the text is there this humility and honor. Look here, there's honesty. He says, it's just not right. It's just not ordained. It's just not meant. Take the children's bread and give it to dogs. Notice her honesty in verse 27. Truth, Lord, you're right. You've said it right. Truth, Lord. Most would protest. This God, ain't nobody going to call me a dog. Ain't nobody going to call me a dog. Most would have walked off. She could have done the same thing. And her daughter would have still been vexed with a devil. Oh my, oh my. Now, preacher, I know I'm a sinner. Of course, now there were sinners, preacher. This old flesh recoils at the thought that we are depraved sinners. I'll tell you this morning, that does not mean we're as bad as we could be. But to be depraved means everything about us, our mind, our will, our emotion. It means everything about us has been marred by sin. And oh my, if you reject your own depravity, you will forever be lost. You'll forever be vexed by the demons and the devils of hell. She says, truth, Lord, I'm just a dog. But I want to be your dog. I want crumbs, Lord, from your table. I'll tell you this morning, hear the preacher this morning. Until you get honest, you're not going to get any help. Until you get honest, you'll get no bread. Until you get honest, you won't even get a crumb of bread. Oh, she says, truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. She's confessing, I'm but a dog. I've got no claim. I've got no right. I'm but a dog. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. Truth, Lord. And you see, to confess is to say the same thing. To confess your sins is to say the same thing God says about your sins. Have you ever confessed that? Have you ever said that? If not, you've never been saved. Have you ever confessed Him as Lord? He is Lord. He is. The Word declares Him as Lord. But have you confessed Him as Lord? Have you ever got honest? But notice with me, there's a hearing here. I don't mean hearing with these ears or with the Lord's ears. I mean her case. She's got a hearing with the Lord. She has a case. She has an argument to make to the Lord. And she makes it good. Truth, Lord, you're right. But Lord, even the dogs get the crumbs from their master's table. Truth, Lord, even the master's dogs get fed with that which falls from their master's table. Now I want you to notice something in verse 27. It doesn't say from the table. Words matter. It doesn't say, she doesn't say, the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the table. No, the dogs eat from the crumbs which fall from their master's table. He's got to be your master. You got to be under his table to get bread and crumbs from his table. Oh my, if you're lost this morning, the only help you're going to get is when you confess and call on him as Lord and Savior. You can pray till you're blue in the face. He will not hear your prayer until it is a prayer for mercy and help and salvation. Everything else going out into the wind. You got to be a dog, if you please, a servant, a child of his, at his table or under his table to get the bread. So he says, oh, I've not been sent but to the lost house of Israel. I've not been sent. She said, oh yes, Lord, I know I'm but a dog. I don't have a right, but I want help. I want mercy. I want a crumb. And Lord, even the masters feed their dogs. Even the masters let their dogs eat of their crumb. She's claiming him as master. You know what she's doing? She's a licking his hand spiritually. She's a licking. She's a licking. She's declaring, I just need a crumb. I just need a crumb from your table. Oh my. Right quick and I'm done. There are heights here. There are heights here. What do you mean heights, preacher? Notice the heights of her faith. He says, oh woman, she's been elevated. She's not no dog. She's not no Gentile dog. She's a child of the King. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. Oh, woman, great is thy faith. He doesn't say her faith is little. He says, great is thy faith. Because when all of these hurdles, her race, his response, The disciples' disregard and they're wanting to send their way. Oh my, in spite of all the opposition, in spite of the demons of hell that had hold of her daughter and her, she believed God. She said, Lord, help. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. And I'm here to tell you this morning, whoever you are, if you will but run to him and cry for mercy, cry for help, oh my, he'll give you the faith and it'll be great. The heights of her faith, but notice, the heights of his love. None of that crowd in town love her. The disciples don't even love her. They want her to be gone. But oh my, when she humbles herself before his feet, when she goes to worshiping him, oh my, he goes to loving on her. Oh, woman, she's a Gentile. She's deserving of death. She's under the curse. She's under the curse of death. Oh my, she is a condemned sinner, but hallelujah. But God committed this love towards us when we were yet sinners, when we were yet dogs. He loved us and gave himself for us. It's no wonder. It's no wonder Paul pins these words over in Romans 8. Hear what he says. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Hey, you think he's going to hold back a crumb? You think he's going to hold back? You think he's going to hold back a slice of bread? You think he's going to hold back a loaf? You think he's going to hold back anything? No, no, no. He who loves us freely, oh my, and will give us all things that you and I need. That's the heights of his love. In fact, Paul can't quit talking about it. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? He says, no, no, no. In all these things, we're more than conquerors. We've been elevated. He doesn't say we're more than dogs. He says we're more than conquerors now. You take your rightful place as a dog, you get elevated, amen. You become a child of the king. You become more than conquerors. He says, I'm persuaded that neither death, nor light, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor thing. Hey, that's pretty high. That's pretty high. He says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. The heights. Her faith, his love. But I close with this. His power. You talk about a crumb of power. What a crumb. What a crumb falls from this table to this woman. Because notice the text. He does not have to verbally say a word to the demon that is possessing this daughter. He just thinks it and it's so. I'm in the book. Just the book. He doesn't speak to the devil, be gone. No, he says, oh woman, I've not seen as you will it, as you wish it, as you desire it, it is, oh my, go thy way, because the demon is gone. And when she gets back home in Mark 7, she inquires and then she knows it's the exact time. Oh my, for Mark 7 says this, for this thy saying, rather he says to her in Mark 7, for this thy saying, go thy way, thy devil is gone out of thy daughter. I can't find where he says a thing to the devil right here. No, he's interested in her. His thoughts can take care of the devil. His thoughts can take care of the devil. Earlier we saw the word, not saying a word. You want to know how powerful he is? He doesn't have to say a word. His thoughts make the devil and the demons of hell back up. Oh my. Now there are times he does speak. He can rebuke the wind. He can rebuke the waves. There are times he does speak and command devils. And they've got to back up. And they've got to depart. And yes, I am full aware this morning. We are living in a dark, and we are living in a more demonic world than we ever have. But I got news for you. There's a day coming. He is not going to be silent. There's a day coming. He is going to speak like he has never spoken before. Here's just a word about it in Revelation chapter 19. Here's what the word of God has to say. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that with it he should smite the nations and shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written King of Kings and Lord of Lord.
You talk about heights of power. He is the heights of power. Brother Brian, you come get us some song or figure out what you want to do. In this passage, there's a number of little things, a number of small things. There's a little daughter. We know she's young. There's a little dog. And there's a little crumb. Just a little morsel.
Just a little crumb of bread. But crumbs from his table met all of her need. Crumbs from his table will meet all of your need this morning. And her faith, connected with the great God, made her faith great. And great mercy and great love and great power came to her. And I'm telling some of you sitting right here, you're running wild like a scavenger, but you can get on today. You can get under his table today. And you can find forgiveness today. You can find love and grace and mercy today if you will but come to his table. The great evangelist Dwight L. Moody said this: his crumbs are enough. But don't settle for a crumb. He said, go for the whole loaf. I want to tell you this morning, the bread is ready. You can get crumbs. You can get a slice. You can get the whole loaf. Amen. You can receive him today if you'll but come and plead mercy. We're standing all over the house. Brother Brian, you direct us. Lead us.
Just as I am.
It'd be a good day to get saved.
But that thy blood
can be the best day of your life.
For me.
Come by to him. Come get honest with him. Come humble yourself to him. You can get bread. You can get help. You don't have to leave with just a crumb. It'll do, but you can get more than that. Bread's ready. Bread's ready. Bread's ready.
Just
as I am. That's getting honest.
And waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot.
You are the bread.
Do you believe this book? This book declares unto us, he knows all things. Then it's just foolish when you and I don't get honest. In fact, we're not deceiving anybody but ourselves when we don't get honest. And I've said it before. Because, oh, he knows my heart. You better believe that. He knows your heart. You utter some little pharisaical phrase to look good in a service. He knows your heart. And when you come down, kneel around, he knows your heart. So tell you what y'all do. Y'all just cut the red tape and just get honest and just get mercy and just get help and just get a crumb for your life. Whatever you need this morning, sing a little bit more, Brother Brian. You mind the Holy Ghost this morning? You ought to come. Bread's available. The true bread has been sent from heaven. The manna has fallen. Y'all to come gather. Y'all to come eat. Y'all to come get on the table. You can get help. You can get help.
I believe, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just
I'm just trying to mind the Holy Ghost speaking in my heart. I don't want anybody to do anything God's not squeezing your heart to do. And hey, I didn't start yesterday. I know how to get this altar filled full of people. That doesn't mean nothing if the Holy Ghost isn't doing it. But could I remind you of the text? It's not this daughter that's pleading for mercy. She can't even get out of bed. She's grabbed by a demon of hell and is laid in the bed. But this mama has gone to hunting, and this mama has gone to crying. I want to tell you, there's some mamas and daddies and some grandpas and grandmas. There's some saved people that need to get over some stinking pride and go to begging God for mercy. Go to begging God for help. Go to begging God for but a crumb. God, help us to get hungry and to get desperate. Sing one more verse, maybe more, but you just mind the Holy Ghost. If God ain't told you to do nothing, don't you even move. Father, have right away. God, I'm glad mercy is available. God, I'm glad help is available. I'm glad salvation is available. Now, these folks hearing the sound of my voice that are on the way to hell, maybe on the edge of hell this day. Oh, God, would they run to you, I pray. Would they run to you, I pray. Oh, God, a crumb of grace will save. A crumb of mercy will deliver.
Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon.
You may say, oh, my daughter's not that bad. My son's not that bad. I want to tell you, if they're lost, they're vexed by devil. If they're lost, they're dead. They can't do a thing. They need God. Who's going to cry to God for them? Oh God, get a hold of hearts. Oh God, get a hold of lives this morning. God,
just
may crumbs fall.
As I am.
May crumbs fall, crumbs of mercy, crumbs of forgiveness, crumbs of grace.
But that,
oh my,
was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God,
You're in the quietest world you're ever going to be in. Of course, it's sometimes in stillness and quietness that things get loud. Because I do know at first it looked like he wasn't saying anything. Well, he wasn't saying anything verbally with these ears. You can rest assured he was speaking to her heart. He was giving her some ears down here. Unless you've got spiritual ears, you're lost. You're headed to hell. I don't care what you do in church. Can a baby that's not born do a thing? Well, of course not, preacher. It doesn't exist. Until you're saved spiritually, you do not exist. Can't do a thing. But when he goes to squeezing on your heart, he gives you the hunger and the ability to say, help, Lord. Mercy, Lord. And that's when the crumbs go to falling. Because the truth is, that word fall, I didn't deal with everything this morning. It's not that something just falls off by accident. Something been put down there on purpose. I took the preachers out the other night, and one of them got a big old porterhouse. I said, I want that bone. Took it home and gave it to Bo. He's Anna's dog, but I feed him, so you know how that goes. I did that on purpose. You think the God of heaven would do less? That's why Paul said if he didn't spare, if he didn't hold back his only son, he'll not hold back anything from you and me. The bread is ready. Father, seal the truth in hearts and lives. Pray, God, folks that eat crumbs, hunger for bread, get under your table. Thank you for what you've done, seen and unseen. In your holy name we pray. Amen and amen.